Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hope to sweep the sun with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's pyre is broken. When Jesus comes, the clouds are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with singing. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So men today still find the Savior able. They cannot conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their old broken hearts have left them oh so sad and lonely. Then Jesus comes and dwells himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's pyre is broken. When Jesus comes, the clouds are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with singing. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Well, friend, if you don't know the Lord today, I certainly hope you'll let him come in your life and change you. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Boy, that happened to me January 22nd, 1978. Now, that don't mean you won't ever sin again. No, sir, that ain't what it means. You still live in a body of flesh. But I'll tell you what it does mean. You can live a victorious, glorious Christian life for the glory of God. Amen. Well, think about helping us on this Reaching America project. Some of you pastors might want to get involved. We've got just a few days left in April. We're trying to raise $3,100 to go on a station in Tucson, Arizona. And you help me pray. I want to do all I can, friend. The night is coming when no man can work. Amen. Now, some would criticize me, and somebody made the statement, you know, and would make some, well, he's just on the radio begging for money. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I'm going to let God take care of that. We're asking 1,000 people across America to give $10 a month to help us to go on these stations. Amen. And just make your check to GBI and then mail it to us. We'll give you the address at the end. Let's finish up this message as much as we can on intercessory prayer. Have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, whatever these boys were doing, Job didn't approve of it. And Job went to praying for them. And I don't know, it could have been that that's why these boys got tucked home early. I don't know what that feasting was about. It just didn't sound good. It may be that these 10 people lost their lives in the book of Job, chapter number 1. It could be, not Job wasn't caught in his sin, but it could be they went home early because of their feasting. I don't know what they were doing. Job didn't like it. Job prayed for him. I want to ask a question. Do you like what your son and daughter's doing? Let me, you go around to everybody. Every revival meeting, every preacher you meet, pray for my boy. Pray for my boy. I want to ask a question. I'm going to be a little mean here. Is that all right? How much have you prayed for your boy? I'm going to be a little mean. Is that all right? Why should we spend time praying for your boy as a preacher when you ain't praying for him? I had something come up here in the ministry. I met with the Lord about it. The Lord said to me, son, he said, if you ain't no more interested in it than you are, he said, why should I answer it? Let me tell you something, brother. You know what God wants continually? The key to that verse is continually. Continually. Job offered sacrifice. Now, if you study that, Job went to God with those sacrifices. He was making intercession, and that day that's what they did. It would be the equivalent of us praying today. Let me ask you, have you prayed for your girl to turn out right? Have you prayed for your boy to turn out right? Have you prayed for him to marry right? You see, it's easy not to pray. And then when they're in the jail, it's easy to say, preacher, would you go see my son, please? I wonder what got him there. No prayer in the home. It's untelling who I'd have married had my mama not prayed for me to get the right wife. It's untelling what would have happened. I believe this. I believe mama prayed I believe the mama probably prayed some girls, and they wasn't, it's not that they were bad people, it's just they wasn't right for me. Mama probably prayed some of them out of the way. Let me tell you something, brother. You know what? You got intercessory prayer. You got a mama or daddy. Some of you got a mama or daddy been praying for you for years. Young people, can I talk to you for a minute? You can go out and drink your liquor. You can do your immorality. You can get in jail. You can get like the prodigal son. You reckon that old prodigal son's daddy ever prayed for him? I bet he did. They kept up with him somehow or another because they knew how he'd wasted his money. And boy, one day, can you imagine old prodigal, that old daddy? I don't know how long that son been gone. But can you imagine the dust started flying up down the road? And I ain't saying this happened, but maybe the mama was out there with old Pa, and she said to him, said, Pa, look yonder, said, somebody's coming down the road. And old Pa said, man, that looks a whole lot like our boy. Mama said, I don't know about that. And the closer he got, old Pa said, that is my boy. And old Pa ran and fell on his neck and welcomed him home. Thank God. Amen. Ain't it good when people come home and they come home over your prayers? Amen. Hey, you intercede for people. Intercede for people. Amen. Pray for your children. Number five. Let me give you this one. What about praying for our companion? God has given me the best wife on the face of God's earth. My wife never asks for anything. She don't keep up with the latest fashion. She don't keep up with the latest clothes. She don't want the biggest house. My wife drives a car. As of the time I'm preaching, it's over 200,000 miles on one of them. And then our old Spire car that ain't as good as it's got almost over 200 on it. My wife is a great Christian. I watch my wife go pray and read her Bible. I watch my wife, and she's been, over the years, she's just been right there with me. And for years, we've been married now. And God sent her to me. Some of you know the story, how God gave me my wife. And let me say something about my wife. You better believe I pray for her. I prayed for her on something the other day, and God answered it. And boy, I just thank God He did about my wife. God answered this little something she's interested in, you know, not some big thing she wanted, but just a little something she don't ask for much. But just a little something I prayed for, and it came to pass. Let me say this to you. You ought to pray for your husband or your wife. Don't you go in and tell them how bad they cook and how bad they clean the house and how bad he won't get this done, that done, how bad a mechanic he is on the car. Do you ever pray for him? You'd rather go down to marriage counseling and grumble about him. You'd rather go to some a group of ladies or group of men and talk about your husband or your wife. Let me tell you, I ain't going to talk about my wife. Number one, I'm afraid she'll put me in a headlock. I'm just kidding about that. But number two, I can talk about my wife because I got the best wife in the world. But I do, and by the way, my wife prays for me. I go preach and my wife will say to me, I'm praying for you. Boy, that means a lot to me. Amen. She said, I prayed for you this day. If my wife sees I'm struggling, she'll say, I prayed for you. Boy, I've been sick. My wife's seen me flat on my back. And I never ask my wife. I don't call her old woman. I don't call her old lady. I don't say, old lady, bring me a Coke Cola here. I don't do that. Matter of fact, I never ask my wife. I try not to. I don't want to. I don't ever want to ask my wife to bring me anything if I can help it. I'm big enough to go get my own tea and my own water. But I've been flat on my back, laying in the bed. And I've had to ask my wife, bring the peppermint oil to turn down the nausea. Bring the Coca-Cola to turn down the migraine. And I've even had to ask her, I said, put a pan under the bed. You know, bad things get ready to happen. I said, flat on my back. I remember one time, my wife was sick. And I took one of them big migraines, and I was sick. She is sick. And she is so sick, she said, Ricky, I couldn't even get out of the bed to help you. I knocked on the wall. She didn't even hear me. Me and her both sick. But oh, I've got a good wife. Do you ever pray for your companion? You know, not praying for your companion is a good way for the devil to have you in divorce court. You know that? And by the way, I'm not for divorce. God's not for it. But you ain't got nobody to blame but yourself if you don't pray for your husband or your wife. You don't. I'm preaching some widow folk. They're widowed or widowed. Their wife or husband's left them. And you know what? They'd tell you right now, boy, I wish I could go back and pray for my husband again. I wished I could pray for my wife again. Oh, but let me tell you something, friend. You know, we take each other for granted. If we care. You know, I consider my wife, that's a person. And by the way, women are people too, men. I see some of these men, they have a problem around women. They just have a problem. They think, well, by the way, women are not second-class citizens. And by the way, I'm going to say something to you. If you're a man and you feel that way, you got problems. You need to get in an altar. Amen. You need to get in an altar somewhere. A woman is not inferior to you. Now, a woman's not to take leadership, but in God's eyes, a woman is important as you are. You remember some women did some great deeds in the Bible. Remember Jael killed a Canaanitish king? You remember that woman that cast that millstone down that fella's neck? You remember Hannah that prayed for a son? Amen. You remember Abigail? Boy, David was about ready to do something big, wrong. A lot of you girls named Abigail. You know where you got your name? Abigail in the Bible. Great lady in the Bible, did a great thing. Now listen, do you pray for your companion? Boy, if you don't, put her on your prayer list and pray for her. You know, your wife or husband ought to be your best friend. I can honestly say me and my wife are best friends. We really are. Now, let me ask you, do you pray for them? Now, I've got to move. I've got to move on. Amen. Amen. In Genesis 25, we find that Isaac prayed for Rebekah for 20 years before Esau and Jacob were born. Now, you got to read the scripture to get that, but he prayed for them for 20 years. He prayed for Rebekah to have children. And he entreated, he offered incense. And that word incense, it literally means to offer up prayer. I believe he prayed. 20 years he stayed with God. 20 years he entreated God, was the word. He entreated God for 20 years for her. And you say, preacher, my wife does things I don't agree with. All right, why don't you pray for her about it? It might take 20 years. Pray for her about it. Number six. Let me hurry along now. Number six. I believe we ought to pray. Well, I believe we ought to intercede for the cause of Christ. You see, we have just neglected prayer so much in the churches today. But let me read to you from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul is talking about the preachers here. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You know what we're to pray for the preacher? That the word of God have free course. Amen. That's what we're to pray for our preacher on Sunday. You see, it's not about, you see, the problem today is we're mechanical. We got our outlines. We've been to Bible college. We've got our sermons laid out. They're eloquent. Our outlines are in the right place. Man, we need a touch of God. If God ain't working on that, it ain't no good. I mean, the devil's going to be right there in the pulpit. The devil climb pulpit with you. Boy, I want the Word of God to have free course. Amen. I was thinking about, you know, I reach a lot of listeners out here, and I was thinking about another station that was getting ready to take on the old devil. Said, why you want to do that? You know, just, but somebody out there is going to listen. The Word of God never returns void. Somebody out there is going to listen. Let me tell you something. Somebody's going to listen to this broadcast today. Somebody's going to get help from it. Interceding prayer. Do you pray for the cause of Christ? You know what the book of Matthew said? Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Friday, April the 24th. I appreciate you for listening. May God bless you and be with you, my friend. If you'd like to write us, I'd love to hear from you this week. Maybe you have a prayer request you'd like for me to pray about. I'd love to do that. I can't heal you, but I can pray for you. Our mailing address is GBI, or the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797 Dobson, that's D-O-B-S-O-N, North Carolina 27017. And until Monday, goodbye. God bless you. It's my prayer.
Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, he who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.